This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles start a three-game set in Toronto tonight. Ravens back on the practice field as training camp continues. It's a perfect time to talk to our friend Rita Hubbard. And Rita, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's start with the newest Raven. And this is one Bone predicted a few weeks ago when he's looking at deep cuts for wide receivers. But Russell Gage in the fold. Any thoughts on Russell Gage?
I mean, look, they could use some depth there. So, I think the more the merrier in that situation. And I hope that, people don't, look too much into it because we know that, Rashad Bateman got nicked up in practice, I think, yesterday.
Yes.
But to me, this is more about depth than anything. You welcome that type of situation. You want as many guys as you can to try to compete and see if you can put the best team on the field. So I like it.
Rita, we put out a poll on Twitter today, varying degrees of concern in the edge group and offensive line group. Which of those two do you have more confidence in?
I'd say the edge group, but not by much, right? And I say this because the offensive line has three new parts involved. That's 60% of the line. So for me, it's a numbers thing, right? I just think that you do have Kyle Van Noy back, so that's something that you have to look forward to. And then, you do have what you think of the potential of Owe as well as Ajabo. But for me, the offensive line, because there's so many new moving parts, I think to me that's at least I know who the guys are over there. And I know, not necessarily Ajabo. We mainly know his college record because he hasn't really played many snaps in the NFL. But, I mean, Owe has so far had an outstanding camp, it seems. We know what Kyle Van Noy can do. So I at least have some familiarity with what they have going on the pass rush side. I'm not by any means saying that I'm okay with them. Do I think that they could use some depth there? Sure. But I don't have, if it comes down to those two groups, at least I know who those guys are. These are a lot of new players, a lot of young players that they got in the draft. So that's the part that I think that is the biggest question mark. We don't know what the transition for them will be like in the NFL, and that's something that we just have to watch out for.
Talking to Rita Hubbard, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Rita, first preseason game is Friday. It's a hate watch for all of us, but what will you be looking at when you watch the game Friday?
Two things we just talked about, right? What is your offensive line looking like? It feels like they're moving some stuff around. I saw that Ben Cleveland was going to be taking some snaps at center, which baffled me because there's a right guard position available. So, what is exactly that they're going to be doing on this offensive line? How they're going to go about doing that, I think I'm interested in. And, of course, who could potentially help with the pass rush? That's going to be something that we could see or hopefully see from some young guys or some new guys as well. So, for me, those are the two things, the question that you asked me, the two things I think that we should be concerned about the most in terms of what the young guys are going to be able to do, because you got to assume that the majority of the vets aren't going to play. And if they do, they're not going to play a bunch of snaps anyway. So It's time for these young guys to get these reps in and see how they can contribute to their respective positions and how they can help this football team.
We're speaking to Rita Hubbard, Inside Access on the Fan. Rita, let's go to the O's. We didn't talk to you last week. You were having a nice vacation, but thoughts on the O's trade deadline moves?
I'm not necessarily moved. I think I did go on with Glenn last week, and I told him, like, you know, I think I said C-. I'd probably just give it a C. I stand by that at this moment. I mean, you like what Jimenez has been able to do because they do need a righty. So that's absolutely been something that they've needed, right? So far, what we've seen for Rodgers,
it's one start.
I know, and so it's hard to say, right? Because, I mean, coming in, guys like Rodgers, guys like Eflin didn't have, like, the best resume, but we tried to give them some grace because of the teams that they came for. And, obviously, Eflin came from Tampa, which, at the end of the day, I mean, just a year ago, Tampa was a contender of sorts. So it's not, you know, that far off, but the situation with the Marlins is a little bit different, right? So, yes, it's only one start, but it wasn't a good one. So, you know, it's all playing itself out. I will say the Jimenez one, I think Eflin was solid, particularly in his last start, have been good. So hopefully they can change my mind on this fee. But I think they did what we thought that they would do. They weren't going to do anything splashy. And to be quite honest, a lot of teams necessarily didn't. There were a lot of teams that were looking for pitchers that, you know, essentially guys weren't trying to give those guys up. Not unless you were trying to get rid of the farm, your whole farm, and probably some other rights for those guys. So they did basically what we all thought that they would do, but also it's pretty consistent of what we saw other teams do around the league from a pitching perspective.
What do you think of Jackson Holliday the second time around?
Love it, man. I mean, sometimes, you know, people need a reset. And this was my issue with people wanting him to come on the opening day roster, guys, because I think sometimes we put pressure on these young players a little too prematurely, and it might affect, you know, their juju, their mojo, or whatever, because now they're overthinking it. You know, not only do they want to be good, but then, you know, you got the pressure of the media. You got the pressure of the fans. His dad was showing up every game until he had a hit. You know, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying? So now he had an opportunity to go back, do a hard reset. He's already played on the major league level. Now he can come up, and then he's a little bit more comfortable because, you know, he had already been up prior. And it's not the same as when he got called up the first time with the hype and, you know, all the hoopla about it. He was able to kind of, you know, slide in easily. And he has less pressure on him in terms of what he's able to do. And it's, to me, worked out perfectly. We saw it with, you know, Grayson last year when he struggled and he went down and came back up. And he's been, you know, here ever since. And so I expect the same from Jackson Holliday. I expect him to be a productive player because now the jitters and all have gotten out of the way, and now he can just focus on simply just playing baseball.
Rita, we talked probably a month or so ago at this point where you were saying that you were hearing on the streets that maybe the O's were talking about, contract negotiations with Anthony Santander, wanting to extend him. Have you heard anything there? And also, if you're Mike Elias, if you're Ruby, would you look to extend Santander?
I mean, to my understanding, the consensus was that they would like to bring him back. I don't know if they started actually having a conversation about it, but that they were interested in bringing him back. And I understand why, you know what I mean? He's a guy that's been on this team for years, and he's been down there for the bad, with the good. They could probably use a little bit more veteran guys on this team. I would love Santander to come back. I don't necessarily know how that fits into the future of their roster, but I honestly don't care. That's not my problem to figure out.
Yep.
That's the Orioles' problem, because that's a good problem to have. You know what I mean? As slow as a start that he had prior to June, you know, since June, he's been, you know, on fire. And, you want to keep that type of guy around, particularly because he knows the clubhouse well. He knows these guys well, and he's, you know, a contributor to what it is that they want to do, not only in regular season, in the long run. So I hope that that happens for sure, because I'm a huge fan of Santander.
Rita, you and Glenn tonight?
Yep, 7 o'clock. So we'll be talking, of course, more Orioles, more Ravens, getting ready for, you know, preseason ball. So tune in.
Awesome. Rita, always great. Thanks so much. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.